God, as we continue in this season of Epiphany, may the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, show us the places in our lives that need attention and illumine the path that you invite us to follow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This is the second part of the sermon that I preached last Sunday, continuation of Beyond Resolutions, living a Christian life that matters. When our children were 11, 8, and 5, our family took its very first trip to Disney World. We lived in Atlanta, and the driving time was roughly 8 hours. We had gone about 10 miles to the entrance of the perimeter highway 285 when our youngest child, Philip Jr., called out the question from the back of our Voyager that all parents dread: are we almost there? We expected the question just not 10 minutes into our journey. When we finally arrived at Disney, roughly 8 hours or so later, Philip was calling the place we were in not Florida, but Far-ida. I think that most of us in our daily lives call out the same question, if not aloud, then in our hearts and minds to God and ourselves: are we almost there? Are we almost there? We particularly ponder this question as it relates to our faith, as it relates to our Christian spiritual journey. It is another way of asking the questions: have I lived my life in a way that I believe God would have wanted? Do I live a life in Jesus Christ that therefore really matters? Back in the summer of 1979, I found myself strapped to the deck of a Navy helicopter flying over the Pacific Ocean during flight operations for the USS Coral Sea. I was a midshipman from Villanova University, assigned to 6 weeks of active duty aboard this magnificent aircraft carrier, now retired. Flight operations lasted for more than 4 hours, and we were strapped to the deck of the helicopter because there were no doors, and we had to be prepared with the crew to react initially for a rescue if a plane were to go down. And during those 4+ hours, apart from feeling a lot of motion sickness, I had a lot of time to think, or maybe it was to listen. And as young as I was at 19, I think this was one of those times that God was calling out to me. Samuel was just a young boy when we read that God called out to him. Samuel was an assistant in the temple under Eli's supervision. Samuel lived and worked night and day, performing his duties for his faith in God. We are told that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Could it have been that it was not as rare as it was not recognized or perhaps listened to? Yet Samuel hears a voice calling out his name in the night. And he, of course, believes it to be his teacher, his mentor, Eli, and he runs to his side. And we hear that this happens 3 times before Eli understands that it must be God that is calling the boy, calling him in the night. And Eli instructs Samuel to reply when he hears God's voice: speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. To live a Christian life that really matters, we must be able to not only be still and quiet enough to hear the voice of God, but also to discern when it is God's voice and not some other voice, and understand what God is asking. We need to hear God's calling out and respond like Samuel. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. There is an inherent promise in the life of the Christian faith that God's answer, God's direction, will be given to us for our decisions and for also the situations with which we are faced in life. The question, though, for all of us is always, how do we do that? How do we begin? The 16th century saint Ignatius of Loyola put forth a fairly simple process that has stood the test of time. It is a discernment process that can empower you in this new year, in this season of light, to maybe move forward with an important decision or some aspect of your life. According to Ignatius, there are three basic steps when faced with a decision. First, he writes, you take the decision that you are facing, perhaps the call from God you are hearing, and live with the experience of what would it be to say yes. In other words, you say, I am going to say yes to this call, yes to this decision. Now, Ignatius, in his writings, said you do that for a month. But of course, he was speaking from a monastic tradition. Most of us cannot give a month to a decision like that. So perhaps we do it for a week or so. We live with the yes. We pay attention to our feelings as we live with the yes to the decision. We listen for God's voice. Second, Ignatius writes, you then take the decision you are facing and you live with the decision, no. I'm going to say no. And you do that as well for the same amount of time, perhaps a week or two. I'm going to say no to this decision. And you pay attention to what you're feeling. What does that stir up within you? You listen for God's voice. And finally, Ignatius writes, you spend that final part, that third week or two, reflecting upon what those emotions were, praying about what you felt with the yes and what you felt with the no, and see if that leads you to a decision, attentively listening for God's voice, for what Ignatius would call God's answer. The process of discernment, of course, like any, is not flawless because of our humanity. But I believe it's the most deliberate and holy ways that we can seek God's direction in the major decisions of our lives. God was calling Samuel to a major decision for the rest of his life in service to God. This perhaps can be a year that you resolve to respond to something perhaps that you've been putting off, to respond perhaps to God in Jesus Christ calling out to you. What is it that God is asking of you? What decision in your Christian life, your daily life, have you been putting off? And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Amen.